beautiful soul family, and welcome along to the next episode of our Introspect podcast. Today we have a beautiful special guest and a friend of ours, Jaden Ray. So I've had the privilege of working with Jaden through the Soul Ascensions over the last year and a half, and it's been phenomenal to see her growth from where she has come from at the first breath work that we met at on the beach into the beautiful blossoming soul and someone that I would consider really aligned with her purpose, her passion and her power. So for those of you that don't know Jaden, she runs her own retreats. She's a women's health and empowerment retreat facilitator. She's an amazing yoga instructor, and she started a company called Find Your Flow. So she specializes in women's menstrual cycles and navigating the seasons, the changes, the energy, the mind, body, and spirit around that whole sacred cycle of the women's menstrual period cycles. I'm particularly interested in having a chat and sharing some information around our womb birth stories, because this is something that I'm super passionate about in my Soul Ascension quantum healing sessions, because so much of our beliefs, the information, our limitations, our emotional state has been actually handed and downloaded through our quantum DNA, through our own womb birth stories. So we're going to have a little bit of a chat about that and the healing work that we have all been doing, including in the beach breathworks around that womb healing, around issues of abandonment and that sort of thing. But also Jane's going to go in a little bit about the connection between the yoni and the throat chakra as well, and just describing a little bit about that sacred connection and the importance of not only owning your divine femininity, but stepping into your expression and your empowerment as well. So yeah, can't wait to get started. So let's dive right in. Hey everybody, welcome along. Today we have the beautiful Jaden with us, and Tammy you all know. But we wanted to connect up to do a beautiful open conversation of exploration and talking about some of our journeys and what we've learned and grown and discovered around the connection with our energy systems, the sacred womb space, the reconnection of embodiment within the heart, the womb, and also interesting note about the throat chakra as well. So welcome, Jaden.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so it's been a really special journey. Like, it's been an honor to hold you in the space of your journey. It's been so quick, but maybe the last year and a half.
Yeah,
so that's been a few soul ascensions and just really helping you uncover your own path of self-discovery as well. But it's so nice to see you now stepping into your own space of your sovereignty and your expression. Because it wasn't very long ago when we were hitting those little walls and the triggers, and just really feeling into the emotions and what was coming up. So yeah, so here we are, bringing you in. Yes. Now that you're in your own flow. So yeah, do you want to talk a little bit about like what you're currently doing, like
Your path? Yeah, totally. It is actually pretty wild to be sitting here year and a half later and just thinking back to that girl that saw you the first time and all of those things that were going on in my mind at the time and discovering who I was and always feeling like I always knew my passion, but it was layered, it was covered. And it felt like quite a difficult path to break free from that. And each soul ascension, each thing that came up within me, having the courage and giving myself the space to discover and to just step into that, it really cleared things up. And so now today my absolute passion is women's health, and so I am just started training to be a menstrual cycle coach, an educator, which I find so fascinating. And then also running my own women's health nice. And empowerment retreats. So I ran my first one a few weeks back, and it was all just about connecting with ourselves, connecting to one another, connecting to our cycle and the phases that we go through, and just understanding how our body shifts and how our energy and moods and everything shifts. And then being able to understand that and come from an empowered place moving forward.
Yeah.
And just connecting.
Nice. Beautiful. Yeah. And with that, does there come a lot of acceptance around the cycle as well? You know, like we've been taught and conditioned in this world to almost dishonor something that is so beautiful and so natural. So Tell us about being a menstrual cycle coach, because that's not something that, you know, like, and it's amazing because we really need this in our world now, right? To come back to what's so beautiful and natural and sacred.
Yeah, yeah, it's so beautiful because not long ago for me and for a lot of people, like, talking about your period in front of others,
it's so taboo, eh?
It's so taboo. And now I find myself in, like, out dinner meeting someone new that I never have and openly at a dinner table talking about our periods and, like, in front of men as well. And it's just so beautiful, and it's actually so sacred, and it's what connects us to all of these beautiful women before us and to men and to just who we truly are.
Well, in all creation. Because we wouldn't be here, like, having this chat.
And just like you said, acceptance. Mm. So through those different phases, like, we need different things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes some phases we need to really slow down, and we're feeling our emotions. We're a lot more sensitive. Mm. And if we don't have that awareness, we fight those emotions and we try to push them down because we're not supposed to feel that way. But understanding what phase we're in and understanding that sometimes we are going to have those emotions. One day we're going to want to run down to like 10 kilometers, and other days we can't get out of bed.
Yeah.
And that is beautiful, and honoring that.
100%. Yeah.
I'll just be in flow with life.
I love the, because when I think about, you know, the cycles in which we live, and this is for men too, you know, that we can go from, even in a whole day, we can go from our summer to our spring to our winter to our autumn, you know, we can kind of go through every stage, and how beautiful it is in the monthly cycle to know when you're in your summer and you're on fire and you're getting shit done and you feel amazing. And then kind of coming into your autumn, where you're just before you get your period and you're letting go and you're kind of slowing down a bit, and then coming into your winter when you actually have your period and it's like hibernation and wanting to rest and recharge and really honoring that, and then coming out of that and into your spring where you're starting to kind of, you know, and I love the analogy of the actual seasons, because it helps me remember, you know, so if I'm in my summer, I feel like I know exactly where I'm going and what I'm doing, and but also when I'm in my winter, just really honoring that and not feeling like I have to be in my summer when my body is literally in a winter phase.
And same, like, we follow the moon, like, way back in ancient times, all women bled with the moon, so they're bleeding with a new moon and come together. It's a little different now because there's so many different energies in our world that has put us off track. But and, like, same for men. We've all experienced. We're all cyclical beings.
Totally. Yeah, for sure. It's interesting because this idea of cycles, like, I've found that the biggest energy breakthroughs that I've had in my own life, especially around doing the really deep energy work, like, I had to become really mindful of how much energy can I give out and expend in the sessions versus absorbing. But then, like, I eventually got to what I call the energy timetable, where my life's not based around a schedule of others' obligations, because in that environment, I really, really struggled because I was just too sensitive, too open, and too many energies around, like, in the corporate world. So as I started to connect with nature, have way more me time, grounding time and connection, that was so vital. And even when I was in the corporate job, my soul would always be calling me to the beach. Like, that's where my mind and my dreams were, even if I was on a computer. And so now when I talk to clients about living or creating your energy timetable, it's so important. Like, so right now, like, I'm 3 days a week as my core days. And then if we choose to do a breath work, or if we choose to meet up and connect up and hold a space for someone else or a few people, there's energy to just flow with synchronicity. Mm-hmm. It's like the core and the break is so balanced, not like the let's go grind 5 or 6 days a week and then have 1 day off or 2 days off, because so many people are still stuck in that get to Friday, yay for the weekend, let's go drinking and boozing and numbing, and then they get to the Monday feeling like crap again. So we're not even in our natural cycles in those phases. It's more of a, like, artificially induced state of numbing, get to hump day, shit, we're going down to Friday, yay, it's the weekend, and then it's Monday groundhog day. So it's like, I really like looking at that micro macro, like, yep, there's the seasons, then there's the month, and then there's, like, the week, And sometimes even the micro in our days or in our mornings, if we win that micro morning slot, then that really has a flow on effect for the rest of our day.
Totally. Yeah. It's almost like the cycle of society, which is the weekend, is it the work for the week, live for the weekend, versus nature's cycle and like reconnecting.
Yeah, you've got it. Yeah. I'm so much more into that, and it just naturally changed over time. The more I allowed more space, the more my is it, just go to the beach, just go up the mountain.
And then every day feels just like a beautiful day, you know, like a Wednesday could feel like a Saturday, like it doesn't, you're not living for a certain day, you're living, you're actually, you know, being.
And even that whole lack mentality or time shortage consciousness, that starts to dissolve, and all of a sudden the weekend's no longer the weekend, and you start to lose track of that linear time frame, and you really just start to use the cycle of weather, of the seasons. So it's just when you wake, it's like no alarm needed. It's just like, oh, I'm up. The light's up, it's daylight. So it's pretty interesting.
So within the womb, if we come back to the womb space, so just before we started, Jaden, you were telling us that the womb, or the yoni, is connected to the throat. So tell us about that, because that's super interesting.
So physiologically, the material, the epidermal material that our throat is made out of, is the exact same as our yoni. And so there's so much research connected to our ability to express ourselves and our connection to our womb space, which once I learned that and looking back at my story, it makes so much sense, because I started with completely shutting off my womb space and living in my masculine energy, and then developed, like, I couldn't speak my truth, and I was always a people pleaser, and, you know, just stay quiet. And then slowly, as I started to reconnect back to my cycle and back to wanting to have a regular period, because forever I didn't, and I lost my period for 6 years.
That's such a sad thing for so many women, right?
And once I set that intention, my voice came back, and it's still, it's an ongoing journey, completely. And it's practicing every day.
And from a trauma perspective, within the womb space, I would say, like, I know for myself as well on my journey, you know, there was a lot of trauma held within that space from, you know, saying yes when I wanted to say no. And so now, you know, getting that link is pretty, it's pretty powerful to look back and go, wow, yeah, I can see how this was shut off. And, you know, in a sense, this was shut off, you know, the connection was shut off. So, and I guess the traumas that even you help women with, John, it's, you know, it's very,
That's that link.
It's held in the cells of the womb, isn't it? Like, so to release those is huge.
Yeah. So that more expanded conversation too, of the understanding that we've more than just one experience, and that we can remember like up to 14, 15 generations of our ancestry and lineage within our DNA. And so even with the throat chakra, for me, that was one of my biggest challenge areas, and the sacral, but on the energetic level as well, it's also connected to connect to your thyroid and your autoimmune function. So when you think about those centers, and what's the purpose of those centers, like in terms of the chakra functioning, like the womb or the root chakra is all about that trust, stability, like, am I safe? And also like your reproductive system and sexual organs, but also the expression of truth and the blocking of the heart, the upper heart walls. Like, that's really that deep dive of the kind of last 3,000 to 5,000 years of really dominant patriarchal society and hierarchy. And as we're talking about before, coming into this age of Aquarius, where it's really this promised time of divine feminine rebalance and empowerment, it's pretty exciting. But it's on happening on that big, like, macro level, but also internally, which is where we're kind of segued into the masculine feminine imbalance within all of us. So, like, let's have a little bit of a chat about that, because a lot of like we were talking about, a lot of women are feeling empowered and gathering confidence within the circles and the groups and the cacao ceremonies and all of the beautiful practices. But at some phase, we will have to acknowledge and reconnect with the external masculine energy and help with the education. But also understand that if we have had hurts externally, like empowering masculine energy or misuse of energy or the repression of voice, then we've got to heal that wound internally, right? Otherwise, the divine feminine is always kind of in the wounded fawn phase of not really feeling empowered and not really in that sovereignty.
Yeah.
So that's what's so powerful that we've been working on, is really, for me, I stepped right into my divine feminine with the intuitive gifts, with the sensitivity, with the touch, with the not having to be the go to the gym and all of these masculine things. It was like almost by honoring that more, that's when all the self-love and the gifts really opened up. Like I noticed a massive, like, I guess, a spiritual growth just accelerated when I really honored that sensitive side of me. And I think it was just, I mean, it's always been there in me, like whether it's love for nature.
But honouring it though is a whole other story, right?
And, yeah, not being afraid.
Also for you, I feel like having that balance of feminine and masculine, so being a safe masculine support, you know, to help women that might have blocks to masculine energy, which, you know, like I definitely had, and I was in my masculine all the time.
That's the independent. So every time I feel my female clients, the independence, yeah, I'm like, oh, but there's like, so we might think that in our minds, or you know, our mums might have taught us that, like, oh, you've got to be strong and you've got to be independent and self-supported. But within me, energetically, I'm just like, oh, so many heart walls. Like when I do the chart, I'm just like, oh, yep, there's a big shield up here and like a few layers around the heart, and you know, that's really blocking all of that love coming in, like true love, not just like monogamous, there's my partner and I must love and connect with them, like much more of that unity love.
And it's just interesting, like the male and female, it's a beautiful balance, and we both need to feel safe within ourselves, but we can also both be a safe place for a male and the male be a safe place for a female. And I know when I first met you, within 10 seconds of coming into your space, I was in tears.
That's my superpower to break you.
And I had just never felt so seen, and then through the sessions being held and supported by a male energy broke down so many of my walls that I had no idea were there. So I think it's this conversation needs to be available for men and women to really step into that. And men want to support and hold space for women, when men are the container for women to flow through. But we have to allow that.
It's so intertwined, isn't it? Like, because it takes courage to step through that illusion of vulnerability, or even to recategorize or redefine what is vulnerability. Because even like on the live last night, I mentioned just this week, there was a couple of clients when I said, what's your definition of vulnerability? And they're like, weakness. And I'm just like, okay, like there goes the heart, like all locking up. And that's when I just, in that moment, it's like, can we please redefine this? Can you understand that that vulnerability is almost like the illusion, the fear, the wall? But on the other side of that wall, like if you have the courage to go through it or around it, there's really expansive unlocking of this heart chakra and the reconnection of inner connection. So it's, it's a journey that I've had to do on my male journey as well, like having quite controlling male energies. So you don't just have to be a female energy to have dominant male energies around you or to feel that repression. You know, you can have, be male and feel a lot of those masculine energies compounding on you. And I think that's why a lot of guys as well have not gone down that path of really maybe honoring gifts or being more emotionally open and expressive, because they too have been bitten by the, especially New Zealand, this whole like harden up, you just got to do it. Like, you know, a lot of people that come here traveling from Europe, and they're like, oh, New Zealand guys are so closed, or they don't give you a hug or a kiss. They're all like, shake your hand. And you know, like, I think it's a thing.
Totally. I've noticed.
So that's, we have to, like, vulnerability for me is courage in the heart space and in the sacral. If we can open up and even help our partners understand that if we take that leap of faith and open a deeper conversation of, like, what do I need intimately? What do I need, like, in my energy? Am I feeling overwhelmed? do I want to stop running that codependent traditional female role?
Yep. Mm.
Like, you know, and mum's at home, she's looking after all the kids, dad's going to do, like, guaranteed, if you give some of the guys the opportunity
of
saying, hey, would you not like to go to work 5 or 6 days a week? They would happily want to spend some time with the kids. And maybe the mums want more freedom or more, you know, connection to actually being able to go and express themselves and, like, earn money in their own beautiful ways.
Yep.
You know, challenging those traditional roles is so important because we're dissolving them.
Totally.
But we've got to just take that leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Even for showing up and doing healing work.
yeah. And I think it all starts with tuning into our body and what's coming up. Mm-hmm. Like endometriosis, PCOS, like on a bigger scale, but even just in the moment. Tightness in the chest, blockage in the throat. It's instead of, I always saw it as weakness and I need fixed. But what it really is an opportunity to explore what emotions coming up, what's going on in the external in the internal world.
What's created this, this dis-ease or disharmony within the body. Even painful periods, right? Like we've kind of like, I grew up thinking that was just normal and like I got put on the pill, you know, to stop the painful periods and the migraines. And then when I came off the pill in order to have children, it took a long time for my body. In fact, it's probably taken a decade for my body to really get back to, you know, what it truly is. And through tracking my cycle. So do you do that in your menstrual coaching? Do you teach people how to track their cycle? And because I know for me, like once I started tracking my cycle and even how I was feeling on certain days, and using a moon cup instead of, you know, and just all of those things have really helped shift, you know, my period. And there's little to none pain now. Like I don't have to take, you know, Panadols every month or and also it helps having a beautiful partner that's really honorary and kind of like, get me a hot water bottle and just relax. It's fine. Just, you know, which is something that I had never had. So, you know, that was just like this massive, like, what? You mean I can actually rest and like honor this pain and, you know, and even do a meditation or something to, you know, to help kind of move through that instead of just popping a pill and carrying on.
Yeah, exactly. There's so much in that.
It's always the numbing, right? The numbing and repressing of the emotional connection and the body connection. Like so much of our modern Western medicine is numb.
That's exactly what birth control is.
Yeah.
And so many women, almost every woman that I've talked to has a period story.
Yeah.
Something that, you know, is actually quite traumatic that they've gone through.
Mm.
And I was put on birth control at 14, the Implanon in my arm, the bar, and bled for 9 months straight without my doctor willing to take it out and just kept telling me to deal with it. And then after that, lost my period and never got it back.
Mm.
And so what birth control is, there is beautiful things about it, and so I'm not, you know, not shaming it.
Obviously, it has its purposes.
It has its purposes, so important. But getting on it at such a young age before we're ever taught what our cycle actually is, and the importance of it and the hormones, and
even celebrating becoming a woman.
Transition from menarche to bleeding and being proud and grateful for what our bodies can do instead of fearing it. And our sex
being shameful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shameful, and our sex ed was avoiding pregnancy.
Yeah. It's probably fear based.
Yeah.
Like this is the most enjoyable, like even sexual activity, like one of the most sacred gifts we could experience.
Exactly.
But you know, you've got to go on the pill. And this is pretty much the fear prompts stops the real connection, and then it brings more shame and judgment.
Yeah.
And
So and it's beautiful because now we do have those stories, and there's an option to keep talking about how terrible birth control is and this is what happened to me, but we are transitioning. Women are becoming more empowered and can come from this empowered place where, okay, whoa, we have this cycle every day. Like, let's learn about it. Let's track how we're feeling every day and becoming more in tune in which phase we're at and like having fun rituals. Like I have rituals for each phase. So I look forward to each phase.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Like what?
So like I'll always when I bleed, I'll always create like that first night, a date night for myself where I light incense or candle, have a hot water bottle, do yin or a nice meditation, and I'll pull like an oracle card as I enter each new season.
That's cool.
Beautiful.
Like even in the spring, so the spring is all about new beginnings.
Yes.
You're starting your new cycle again. So trying something new.
Cool.
A new activity or spring cleanings, so like wash your sheets and you know, little things.
Handstands.
Like that. Yes. Yeah. You can do inversions in it. Yeah. So it's those things, and it's so fun. And my passion is changing our stories into our greatest gift and our empowerment.
Yeah.
And yeah, having fun with our cycle, because it is like, it's our superpower.
Yeah, it
and
is.
You guys don't
I know.
Have that. They have other cycles, but like ours is, yeah, it's just beautiful.
Yeah. And it's pretty amazing that, you know, that our body does what it does
without
any, you know, it can, if it's not messed with medication, it can just naturally do this amazing thing. And like, I just find that phenomenal.
Mm.
Like, it's literally, like, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so really honouring that. And I think actually also the acceptance, for me, when I started tracking it, it was about the acceptance of the cycles as well. Because for a long time, especially when I was in my masculine, it was just a pain in the ass.
Yep.
You know? And therefore there was resistance. And so, you know, whenever there's resistance, it stops any kind of flow.
Yeah.
So if we can be in this deep acceptance all through all of those cycles and through the whole month, then we can flow, you know, we can flow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all like just connecting back to our ancient woman wisdom. Mm-hmm. Like that was a huge thing at the retreat, is we talked about what each phase does look like.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that's what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
Every day, instead, checking in, how do I feel in this moment?
Mm.
And then look at your cycle tracker on which day. And yeah, and like our intuition guides us, like, and creates, like, John and I, like, messaged me, but before I even saw the message, we ran into each other before this.
Yeah, totally.
And it's
synchronicities,
like,
are just so powerful. Hey?
That's what happens when we become.
Yeah. Yeah. I really connect with that. Like, I love that, because that's pretty much, again, with the energy timetable, and like we're really embodying this 5D consciousness of just trusting, like getting your own stream and flow, like cracking those beliefs that have kept us splitting all of our energy to all different areas of life or external sources, and really plugging the holes in the bucket and bringing, like, finding the belief patterns, the cycles, the behaviors that are really stopping us to even be able to slow down and embody or take this sacred time. Because, you know, we were talking about that whole divine, like the patriarchal control and really male dominance.
Mm-hmm.
But then the woman flipped the other way around the 70s, and then they wanted to be the CEOs and the ones going to work. But then that was a dishonorment of the emotions and the time and the space to slow down as well. That was really still being busy, and instead of being busy at home, it was now being busy chasing the career and the jobs, and then all of a sudden women having problems having their period and giving birth again.
Yeah.
So we've got to come to this, I guess, this rebalance, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully in this period now of new knowledge, really kind of proactive, amazing young female energy. Like, it's so cool because we can share information so quickly now that it's not, it's just like, it was a very dog eat dog.
Yeah.
Always just in the competition and the separation. Not an integrative approach.
Yeah.
But yeah, that intuitive flow, the synchronicities, I really liked how you mentioned of trusting intuition first and then checking in.
Yeah, I got that too. Yeah,
that's the way that we build.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was a huge learning lesson for me, because at the retreat, it was beautiful how it worked out, but I was talking about I'm in my summer phase and I'm synced up with the moon and this is where I'm at. But in between each workshop, I was exhausted, and I was like, I don't think I could run a retreat if I'm in my fall or winter phase.
Mm.
And so I was like, this is so weird. I'm supposed to be ovulating right now. And then the day after the retreat ended, I started my bleed. So I was actually, it was so funny because I was telling these women, like, check in with yourself first. And then I wasn't checking in with myself. So it's an ongoing journey. And just because you think you're at a, if you have a regular cycle, just because you think you're at a certain apart, the external world and stress and everything can change so much. So yeah, just always checking in with yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've actually noticed that with everything that's happening in the world, like my last kind of 3 months previous to that, everything was always on, you know, that my period would come on day 28, and the last three, it's been like day 24.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and I've been like, huh, okay, this is different. Yeah. But yeah, also just, you know, flowing with that and just, yeah, not putting any, you know, because even we might put like a negative kind of connotation on there of like, I had plans, or, you know, so just releasing any expectation as well on what's supposed to be, and just allowing it to flow beautifully. Yeah.
That topic and pressure is that's actually a really key topic that keeps coming up, especially with the young clients, like, you know, 18 to 25. Is everyone wants to be social and be accepted and party and do the drinks and that sort of thing. But like many times what's needed is actually just stopping or saying no. Like saying, like, you know how we say yes when we really should say no?
Yeah.
Based on how we're
checking
feeling. And like you said, checking back in, even on that social level, because otherwise we just end up running ourselves so depleted, and then the body goes into that more nervous fight or flight type, just like, I'm surviving, and then having whatever stimulants I need to keep the body going. But it just takes us off balance again, hey?
Totally.
It's not in our sovereignty. It's like, cool, more V's or more Red Bulls or, you know, whatever it is, Molly Water or shit to get going. Like, but then you just hit the crash again, and then you're back into a heavier cycle and period of emotional overwhelm, anxiety. And, you know, again, those emotional indicators are so powerful for teaching us where we are out of balance. So if we just slow down and listen to the emotions as our superpower as well, then we can pull it back into balance quite quickly, as long as we're just willing to be a little bit self-aware.
Yeah, exactly. And in my spring and summer phase, like, that's when our social parts of our brains are most stimulated, whereas other times it's more like the analytical side, and other times is more of the feeling side. So depending on which phase you're in, our brain chemistry is different. So like with my cycle, I will plan social outings in my spring and summer, and I'll say yes. And in my fall and winter, I say
no.
Love it. And then, and like same with my workouts. I completely take it off, complete yin when I'm bleeding. And then when I do honor that, I have the energy to do a little more intense workouts.
Walk up the mountain or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so interesting, because I really battled with the whole workouts thing, because I was like I had to work out every single day. So as I've been honoring that, I also had to work through the guilt and the but will I put on weight if I don't work out, you know, like hard out for a week? Or like, there was so much wrapped up in there in the mind that I had to kind of overcome and drop into actually know my body's calling for yoga, or, you know, or even just nothing.
And that's like something like right now, are you dreading the gym that you're like the workout that you're supposed to be doing in 2 hours? Are you already thinking about it, or are you excited to? That's it, like right there.
Yeah.
That's a simple
question. That's the body indicator.
Yeah. You follow that.
If you're not excited,
yeah,
don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And totally. That's another really big, I think, social pressure. I mean, it is at any age, but particularly as we leave home and start to go into our own cooking and our own prep and social circles, it's like, and especially with social media, like, how do I look compared to that person? Am I in competition? Am I in judgment? Like, we've talked quite extensively recently about, you know, even the female to female competition. Like, there's just so much, like, this, it's so entangled between mums and daughters, sisters, like even the sister, like inner child experiences that we go back to, where, oh yeah, she was the intellectual one and I was just the emotional stay at home one. But then we go into the regression and we pull in the sister, and the female's always been envious of that homebody and that free spirit one. But because she's at the whole, that persona of the intellectual one. So, you know, we always have these outward perceptions of, I guess, who we need to be and live up to, and all of those masks. I think we worked on quite a lot of heart walls and layers and filters of masks of who we have to be rather than who we want to be. So, yeah, I think just continually, like, dropping those external expectations is really massive, like the energetic weight on the shoulders, the neck,
The obligations.
Yeah, totally.
Because it forms our whole belief system. So, you know, like we worked on a little bit going back to, you know, let's just dive in a little bit because we've all got womb birth stories. So let's just talk about, because I love the lineage healing. Like it's really, when
it's
I,
your jam.
Yeah, when I, even before I met you, Jaden, I started to like have those sessions where the mums would come in and they can't get pregnant or they haven't had the period for 5 years. And so many of them, like you go back into a past life experience, which is just not really in the past. It's just an experience that exists. And when we cleared that, bam, they would shift right here, right now. And I'm like, wow, that's really powerful. Like what? This is not something that's made up in the mind. This is something that really happened and we've reclaimed their energy and their belief system and soul fragments. And then bam, their period or they naturally get pregnant. And, you know, so like, let's talk a little bit about this, right? Because we've all got these womb birth stories and those younger years, especially the pre-5-year-old mark, where our, especially mum to daughter relationships. Because whatever mum didn't sort from the way that she was treated from grandma, the belief systems get passed down in the backpack and in the womb especially. And then it comes down to you. We conceived and then we go through a couple of trimesters and whenever I drop back to that birth story, I'm like, what do you feel within mum? You know, you as a soul, what do you remember mum felt? Oh, mum didn't feel safe. Dad was never there. She felt a bit unsupported, abandoned. Like the lower back starts going off. And then the abandonment or the betrayal within the womb. Sometimes the dad's cheated and the mum feels not only unsupported, but really not good enough, sexually not good enough in her heart space. Why am I not worthy? Why did he have to go somewhere else? So, yeah, do you guys want to talk about womb birth stories?
Like our personal.
What you've noticed that's played through.
So mine has been very much was an abandonment and a lack of feeling safe and secure, which came from mum. So, like, dad dropped mum off at the hospital and went back to work. So work became, like, a factor in it as well. So for me growing up, like, it felt like work was always more important. Like, dad's work was more important than the family. And so constantly feeling abandoned by dad mainly. But, and what else came through there? A lack of connection and heart walls. Big-ass heart walls. And so my whole journey has been about, you know, really releasing those heart walls and just layer upon layer upon layer and stepping into the vulnerability and having the courage to step through. And it's been really, it has been really challenging at times, but, you know, of course that's the journey. And, even the abandonment and just even kind of folding back in and recognizing where I have abandoned myself in my life. So by disconnecting from my body, and allowing my body to be, you know, like used and abused in a lot of ways, disrespecting my body. So there's so much there that I have worked through, you know, over so many years. But the biggest one was the abandonment. And and I do feel like the abandonment of self was really what it came down to, because once I was able to actually check in and learn how to love myself again, learn how to connect into my body and even to connect with my yoni. So I remember reading the book Pussy and you know, the reclamation of that connection and even talking to her and, you know, and like really reveling in her beauty instead of it being something that was dirty or shameful, or there was so much, you know, there were so many emotions wrapped up in that. So there's been a lot of de-armoring even around that space. And, you know, that all comes with the whole journey. So, a lot.
That's what's so interesting about those energy pathways, though, and I guess that's part of the gift of being an empath, or what happens on my soul level is someone will say a soul level statement like, oh no, like vulnerability is weakness or something like that, and something will just trigger, and then I'll be like, okay, where did you first feel that? And the body knows, like when you're in quiet regression and you're in the soul level, the body knows how far it goes back. You can ask the body an age and it will say, yep, let's go back there, or let's go womb birth story, or let's go previous to that. But as you experience with the abandonment, like say, or even the download of your mum's beliefs at that time around, is, you know, my husband there or whatever, am I safe and supported, can I open my heart, or is he always too busy, and that sort of thing, that belief system is transferred to you through that very complex process of the womb and birth thing. But then you go in subconsciously, not even realizing you have those beliefs. And then you start your journey of relationships. Always wanting that energy from outside and that recognition, or to know that I am enough.
The codependency, all of that,
And so that's the cycle, right? Like, and that's why it's so important to go back to that root cause. Because if we don't go back to the root cause and bring new understanding and reclaim that beautiful inner child part of us, then we're always going to be on this external mission of finding that part of us. Whereas, as you know, with your work as well, it's like all about that reconnection and remembering, like remembering who we are, and like really, like whether it's yoni or whether it's your inner child or whether it's your womb birth story, really shining light and love and acceptance and support, because there is no linear time, so you can go back there and love the shit out of that beautiful and even birth it through.
Bring,
like,
the energy through, totally.
How about you, Han? Like, what about your womb birth story?
I really, so very similar to yours. But yeah, I, through our sessions, I saw a lot and experienced a lot that had come up. And my, not feeling like my mom was ready and was fully in her power before she had me, and while she had me. And I felt that she felt abandoned from my father as well during that time. And he was very hardworking and starting a business. And my mom kind of put her goals on pause to have kids and be there for him. And yeah, and it's so beautiful. When I first kind of realized this, a lot of like resentment came up. And that was the process, though, for me to see all of those thoughts come up and then to release that. And now I've created a beautiful space for my mom to step into her power, because now we have these conversations all the time. And
beautiful.
Yeah, it really is. And
you've just touched on the most awesome point, and it's to do with why I love ancestral healing so much. So if we understand that our ancestry is not a linear timeline, you know, when we call in the guidance and the wisdom of our ancestors or any of our ancient gifts or things that we've done, we're in truth, we're knowing that we have had experiences back here in our own lineage line, and we're coming under, because quite often on the adult level or on the mum to daughter level or father to son level, you have blocks, you have resistance to, oh no, my partner doesn't know, he won't get it. But when you birth a child biologically under you and they be the mirror from that side, then it's like they've taken the back door. And so that's what I realized that was really beautiful in my own journey. Even if mum and dad didn't have a super open heart to self-love, like a lot of love out, and they were doing the best that they could, but no self-love. And that master key of my son taught me that mirror. And that was the golden gateway. And that's where I realized, like, why would I have come under my dad? Okay, to open up self-love in the male line. We've got to crack this. We've got to open it, because there's no love that direction, like, as a never even speaks about his dad. Like, just a couple of negative things, alcoholic, used to sell my stuff to pay for drinks at the pub. And I realized that dad, again, the armoring, closing off so much around the emotions and the heart space and hugs and everything. I was like, man, it's a pretty tough nut to crack. But eventually, through all of the tears and the breakdowns and the dark nights of the soul, you come forward realizing that's exactly why I chose to be here. So same with you guys and your mums. Like, we have that highly evolved, intelligent, soul-level connection with them to have that courage to come under, no matter how challenging the situations might be, that we knew we could spark some inspiration and spirit into this lineage line. And that's so cool.
Some other things that had come up with me is, in one of our sessions, I saw that, and I... I had a little clog in the throat before saying this, but I think it should be more talked about, and a beautiful opportunity for maybe someone else to resonate. But I saw that my dad was unfaithful to my mom, and yeah, a lot of resentment came up there, and then I, you know, accepted it, whatnot. And only a few weeks ago, my mom opened up to me about that. I didn't know if it was
awesome.
True.
Wow.
I experienced it in the session, and I didn't know
you
if it was
it,
true.
Yeah.
I really did. I didn't want to believe it at first. And then my mom opened up to me about it not that long ago.
Wow.
And she set herself free from it. She had realized how much resentment she had still held, even though she
this is so juicy.
Oh yeah. So she, you had released the resentment.
Yes.
And then she
It's
so powerful.
She didn't realize in the back of her head she was holding on to that experience for so long. And then once she saw those thoughts about it and realized that she was deserving enough to set herself free, she told me about the conversation she had with my dad, and she's like, I've never been more in love. And
that's so powerful, right? That's the power of what we truly have, though, right? When when we understand, like, you know, there's that, you see that post, you know, when you heal, it ripples out across all time, space to your ancestors. And it's so true. Like, how do we honor what's happened, understand the challenges and the consciousness of what's been going on the planet at their time, but then have enough of a difference to create the spark of change? And that is so powerful. Like, it's so cool.
Yeah, totally. The other thing that had come up while you were talking is that like self-love. Like, I watched women growing up, anytime they looked in the mirror, saw a picture, instantly they would say something something mean about themselves. Yeah. And so I absorbed that.
Yes.
I totally know. And I also, so many women in my life growing up were people pleasers, like the most selfless, beautiful women, but too much. And then I realized that going through my teens and early 20s through uni, like I didn't have that self-respect for myself. And when it came to being sexually active with males, I saw myself as providing for them, as a service to them.
Those vows of obligation and those very matriarchal, like, you are here to serve. That, and that's that whole paradigm.
And even shifting, like, taking away from your pleasure part of it, you know, like, especially through those younger years.
And reconnecting to my womb space has reconnected me to my pleasure and my deservingness of my pleasure.
Awesome.
And which complete connection to communicating what I want.
What you enjoy. That's it. Fully.
It's a cycle.
It's another cycle.
It's pretty complex though, isn't it? Like, it's all just intertwined, and it's but as you start peeling and have that courage to peel the onion and the orange, only beautiful things come, eh? Like, there's really, you know, I keep saying, like, just try this. The wheels aren't going to fall off the wagon. Just go and try it, please. Have the vulnerability or the courage to take that step. And like 99% of the time when they do, beautiful things come, apart from if something's really out of balance, like they're just in a totally wrong relationship and they go take that step, and then whatever we've talked about will totally come up in their face anyway. And it will present itself as part of the healing.
Something that I just wanted to add about the abandonment too, because sometimes that trauma or that wound can be a little bit sneaky. So, you know, I was in a relationship that was very solid, and like there was, you know, like I wasn't going to be left or cheated on or anything like that, but there was a continuous abandonment of my needs. So the abandonment, you know, like I would not, back then I would not have thought of that as abandonment, but now I can look back and go, wow, like I was constantly let down. I was constantly told, I'll do that, and then it wouldn't be done, or, you know, like wouldn't get home so I could go and do something for myself, or you know, so there was, and that was a form of abandonment. And so, you know, like sometimes these things, we can be like, oh, I don't have that. But then when you really like take a closer look at your situation or your relationship or whatever it may be, and actually kind of, just going a little bit deeper.
Like that's a thing even with that, because the energy of abandonment and betrayal is like there 90% of the time when we're like looking beneath like endo or polycystic ovaries, or whatever it might be. You know, it's really sad when you hear like a 19-year-old come in and they've already had like 2 endo surgeries already. And I'm like, they're not going to have a shot of having a child. If they keep cutting out, then so, you know, and that's when we go into the abandonment wound, like you said, the way that it externally manifests, because the whole world out there is all manifest from an internal belief system. So, you know, we will abandon.
But it can be sneaky, right?
Like, yeah,
it can't be in your face sometimes. So, you know.
Yeah.
And then it takes like 10 years to notice.
Yeah. Or like, yeah, you abandon your dreams, like your mum, or you abandon, or you'll notice.
Oh, I did that as well.
Yeah, yeah. Or you might have a product or a course or something, and you'll notice that people will like get in touch and they'll follow you for ages and they'll reach out and then they'll just abandon it.
Abandon it.
Yeah. And it's like, damn, what is that mirror? So I guess that's coming back to the gold around law of attraction. Is if you see a cycle of something, let's just talk about the topic of cycles.
Yeah.
There's positive cycles and there's negative cycles. Really? And if you can become self-aware of what is being shown to me, what do I need to learn from this negative cycle?
Yeah.
What am I not quite seeing? Mm. Or what do I need to understand or release a belief of that's keeping that manifesting or that behavior manifesting?
Yeah.
Then there's real treasure to be found when you start down that self-awareness path.
Yeah. Because everything that we experience in our external 3D world is just a direct reflection. It's all a mirror of what's going on. And some of it is conscious, some of it is our thoughts. Other of it, like you spoke earlier, is from past lineages.
Mm. Mm. And literally from what the body is holding in the cells even, you know, like the unresolved emotions or blocks or experiences that are actually held in the body. And even, you know, like the massage comes into that, because even if you release the energy, like sometimes it can be so deep within the cells that, you know, massage is really powerful for getting releasing it. Yeah.
Yeah. The sacral, hey, like that's been, like I was saying to Tammy the other day, like whenever I do Reiki massage, which is quite often, especially if it's any topics around self-worth, self-love, abandonment, like guilt, shame or judgment, like, you know, someone might come and say, John, I want to lose weight. And I'm like, cool, we're not going to focus on your weight. Let's focus on why you needed the protection in the first place. Like, where did you feel unsafe within the body? Where did you feel that you were not enough or not good enough? And sometimes, you know, we'll go back to like inner child stuff. I'm like, where are you? We're at a Christmas dinner table. There's Granddad and Grandma. Granddad just said a comment, because I'm a good swimmer. I'm a really good swimmer and I like swimming at like, I did it from like 5 to 8 years old, this beautiful female client that I'm thinking of. And here's Granddad. Don't eat any more. You'll put on weight and you won't be good at your swimming. Like, or you're chunky.
Yeah.
Like, and they'll remember really clear comments. So, you know, like trauma is not always the like, oh my gosh, my parents have abandoned me and fostered me out.
Yeah.
Trauma can be a really simple comment of someone saying that we look ugly or we're fat or, you know, don't eat any more food or don't touch that pie.
Yep.
Like, you know, it can be that simple, or a brother and sister like competition, right?
Yep.
Where they just pick a little bit at you or do something that's really mean, and that'll be enough to just take your self-esteem down and your self-worth. And that's why the sacral massage has been such a powerful modality of clearing, and you can feel it in your digestive system when it's locked up and it's all knotted and or really expanded.
Yeah.
Like got all of that bloating underneath.
Yeah.
It's been so profound that particular area with Reiki massage as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's such a powerhouse area.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Where do we want to take this? So through your changes and even Tammy as well, like it's been really cool to not take, even with Tammy, not take your power away from you, but just to gently support you to stand into your own sovereignty related to your voice and what your desires are and what you need. But often if we don't stop and slow down and actually think about like what is meaningful to me now, like at my age now, not when I was like 16 or 14 or 8, because our needs constantly shift and change, and our version of love constantly shifts and change, because it starts at the needy or the codependency of having the parent, the nurturer. Then it goes into we want to be a teenager and have a bit more independence and start to learn about our body and sexuality. And then it goes into the adult stuff. And every phase we're constantly shifting, or we should shift, our perception of what love is. But that's what happens, right? We get stuck back in that old version of what love means, which is all about the body, sex, giving away more of ourselves. And then eventually we come into the self-love, the reconnection. But yeah, like that expression, because with your male energies, you've had the male challenges, like all the dad, the brother, the sons. Yeah. And, you know, whether it's above you in the lineage age or below you, the reflection was still there no matter what.
Yeah.
So, you know, do you want to talk about, like, as we've been opening up over these last few years, about opening those heart walls and de-armoring that heart space? And, you know, because I know that you're both resonating, even you, Jaden, about learning to express that truth.
Mm.
So do you just want to talk a little bit about that? Like, around, I guess, what was the big shift and how do you feel once you start taking those steps?
Yeah.
Of actually speaking your truth and saying no to things. And
amazing. Amazing. And I guess probably there was a bit of, there was, you know, obviously I've released this now, but there was a lot of sadness there too when I came into my power and started speaking my truth and honouring myself. Then came a lot of the healing around the sadness of what had been and what I allowed.
Mm.
And you know, from going from completely disempowered and then kind of building myself up, you know, over many, many years to become more empowered. And it was a slow and gradual, and this is why I want to help people now, because I don't want it to be so slow for people, you know. I want to fast track that. Finding that self-worth and the ability to be able to speak our truth. And yeah, so, and I guess even, you know, with you, John, like, it was the first time that I actually felt fully respected by masculine energy, and that felt very strange.
It triggered the shit out of you, because then it was like, this can't be real.
It was not, like... it was, yeah, it almost felt like not, like it wasn't right, because it was so different to what I had ever experienced before. So, you know, learning to actually recognize that familiarity is not necessarily our truth, you know, like the comfort that we find in the familiar can actually be really toxic. And yeah, that was huge for me. Yeah, and then just with every layer, I guess, because, you know, I went through being able to stand up to my dad and speak my truth with him, and then with my brother, and, you know, like, I stopped kind of the people pleasing and kind of jumping whenever my brother wanted something done. You know, I was always there for him and always did things for him, and then I stopped doing that. And so then he started looking at me differently and being like, well, wait, like, what's going on, kind of thing, you know. And yeah, like having to set those boundaries and actually stick to them and be like, no, like, I'm actually choosing me. And
yes. And even the jokes, right, the sibling jokes, you started to stand in your sovereignty and say, actually, that comment really hurt.
Yeah, that's not funny anymore.
Like, yeah. And this is like, you know, we're talking like 40 years old type
and this
thing.
This is thing, like, just calling me a dick. And it's kind of like, well, actually, that's actually not very nice. Like, I don't appreciate it. And I don't want you to say things like that to me. You know, even in jest, it's actually, like, there's always truth behind, you know, jokes and sarcasm, which is like, you know, New Zealand's version of
shielding protective layers putting someone else down.
And being like, really, and it feels scary at first. Mm-hmm. It feels like, oh my God, what's going to happen if I fully speak my truth? But the more you do it, the easier it gets. And yeah, and then having both my young, well, they're not so young anymore, teenagers, you know, really push those boundaries. And with every step, and I'm still learning, you know, the dominating male energy. So, you know, that's been one of my biggest learnings in this lifetime. And yeah, and just continuing to remember my values and not to abandon my values and my truth, which I think, you know, comes back to the abandonment. Like, yeah, the abandonment of self is the biggest, because yeah, just having the courage really to actually honor myself. Yeah, it's huge.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's funny, right? Because with the people-pleasing tendencies and the not being able to say no, and like the fear of abandonment and fear of being alone, on a core soul level, all of us want to be loved and accepted.
Yeah. I was going to say there's a fear of persecution too, of not being loved. And when it's like your own children, or, you know, or your brother, or, you know, somebody so close to you, that fear of them not loving you is terrifying.
Yeah.
But when it really comes down to it, the fear of not honoring yourself is even greater, you know, like
hopefully, yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So, and it's time for us to start recognizing that. And also because if we're not fully whole and complete, then we can't be nothing for anyone else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's that's relates so much to my experience as well. Again, I feel like a lot of females. But yeah, with my experience, I wanted that love from my dad and brother and fit in with them so much. I wanted just to make them proud and hear, like I needed to hear it. So I kept chasing, trying to be more and more and being more masculine to try to, you know, fit in with the guys.
So interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. And then I always had a lot of guy friends. And
oh, yeah, that's so totally me too.
Yeah,
yeah, because you're it's a subconscious thing. It's very subconscious, but you're always on the seek for whatever you didn't have.
Yeah. But then it was almost this wall of, I'm just going to make guy friends so I don't have to actually open myself up to be hurt is, yeah.
It's so sneaky.
Yeah, it totally is. It was a mask, it was a protection wall.
Yeah.
And then I remember I was in a long relationship when I was really young and beautiful relationship, but it was also a time where I was obviously seeking love, and he gave me love, but I had never learned yet how to give love to myself. And talking about like those things that stick with us for years is my boyfriend at the time had told me that he loved my abs and that I had a six pack. And so since that day, for years and years and years until probably a year ago, chased a six pack and chased, you know, that more masculine body actually, because that's what I thought was like, okay, well, I got love from that person because I looked like that.
Yeah. So now I have to look like that all the time.
So that it's so.
So what created the shift? Was that through those sessions and like really reconnecting you back into your, because the essential reconnection and the divine feminine re-embodiment is so important, hey? Like connecting the heart back to womb, sacral, like there's such powerhouse centers.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one, you know, we chase that thinking that that's going to give us the body, but quite often the body will retaliate and just hold protection over it.
Exactly.
And so you don't get what you want anyway. Like
I've always had like IBS and chronic like fit or like bloating and all. And it's totally that. What has shifted and is continually to shift is my acceptance of my femininity.
Cool.
And I actually find it so much beautiful for my own body to have more curves and to not be so hard. And my yoga practice was a huge transformation to that as well. Stepping away from the weights and all, but yeah, it's still just a beautiful journey, and navigating the dating life right now is I have so much more self-worth and can tell if that person is respecting me or not. My intuition is a lot more
on point.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Because that's huge too. Like, I went through a stage of dating, you know, before John and I got together after my ex-husband, and I found it a really anxious and just yucky space, really, you know, like there's a lot of neediness and a lot of masks, you know, a lot of people trying to be something that they're not for somebody, and you know, there's a lack of authenticity, or there was, you know things like Tinder and stuff like that. Like, I did meet some beautiful people on there, but there's a lot that are just chasing, they're just externally chasing, you know, I don't know what.
But it's still a reflection though, right?
Coming from, absolutely.
Like, it's always like a vibration and reflection.
Oh, 100%. Like, the people that I did attract were beautiful mirrors for what I still had going on. Yeah. So, and I can look back and see that now, but at the time I didn't, you know, even the anxiety around, you know, like thinking that it was butterflies and love and actually recognizing that it was anxiety, and it was actually my body going red flag. Because, you know, now what I've realized is that love is actually really calm and peaceful, and it doesn't have that, like, there's passion, but there's not that the anxiety. I had this conversation with a beautiful male client actually, because we were talking about the honeymoon period and how, you know, he was like, well, what, wait, like, do you not believe in the honeymoon period? And I was like, no, I believe in it. Like, I've definitely experienced it multiple times in my life, but I actually recognize now that, because John and I didn't really experience a honeymoon period, we had a deep connection, but it wasn't all fired up and, like, you know, like sparks and
that, all passion based.
It was deep and it was real and it was authentic and it was slow too. And so there was this beautiful opening, and really I explained it to this client as like this beautiful foundation, you know, like growing the roots of a tree. And, you know, and for me, that's, and there's never been any kind of ups and downs, and, you know, like, of course we've moved through challenges, but we move through them with such ease and grace and flow, because that connection, that deep rooted kind of structure was formed. And and I've read about it in a book, The Road Less Traveled, which is written by a psychiatrist, and he talks about the different forms of love. And same thing, you know, like the honeymoon period, like, yeah, it's all fired up and it's amazing. Yeah. But then what?
Yeah.
You know, where's the roots? Where's the foundation? And yeah, so it's super interesting and a complete mindset shift on what love is. And so the kind of, when you're dating, follow that intuition and go for the depth, because that's where the good stuff is.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. That's beautiful. There's so many nuggets in there that I'm like, yes. For me, it is an area that's still, like you said, feels icky in areas. So
yeah,
and it's cool because as I'm sitting here, it's like, oh, actually that makes me feel excited, because there's things to see and things to release about myself that is going to keep leading me to
And even when you do like meet a real conscious like match, stuff still comes up, but the way in which it comes up has got nothing to do with like drama, fighting, one person stealing the energy from the other person. Yeah. Like that was like pretty much my whole experience of relationships previous up to then.
Yeah, same.
And I was just like, I'm done with that universe. Yeah. Like, fuck that. Like that cycle, that all of those belief systems that I'm holding of like all the overgiving, the people pleasing, the not being able to say no, they never follow my dreams. This is like a topic amongst all of us. It's just a continuum of the same energy. And you just get sick of, like, you realize that it takes more energy to uphold the masks of what you're not than it does to actually just be yourself. If you just go straight for the gold and say, do you know what? I'm going to speak my truth and embody my truth. If that person doesn't align with it, it's not meant for me. That, like, can it be that simple? Like, you know, can we just have that courage to say, do you know what, I'm not feeling the vibe, sorry dude, like, thanks for that date, but it's not on anymore, like, you know. And that was one of my biggest fears because of the codependency programs of seeing like long-term marriages, and that my upbringing and that was, and even the religious belief systems, like having to face the guilt, shame and judgment from having to choose to leave a marriage and that. There was so much judgment, so much self-sabotage, so much unworthiness related to that. But of course that journey brought the unfolding of crumbling of all of those old belief systems to finally get to here. And then you have the really easy conversation, like that conversation that we had at the first hour and a half that we met was all about, not even, didn't even know what the name was, but what turned into introspect. And, you know, like it was a real soul level combo. And I'm like, I'm into crystals and I like oracle cards. And she's just like, that sounds fucking awesome. And I'm like, wow, that was the first hour and a half that I've ever been able to look a female in the eye and actually have an hour and a half conversation. But because previous to that, I wouldn't smile. I wouldn't look at anyone in the eye. I'll be very like head down and very introvert. So, yeah, it's like that's when you know, when it's easy, let that be the sign. And know that you are a powerful creator.
There's for me, that conversation was, wow, that doesn't happen every day.
Who's this weirdo?
It was different.
But it was different, right? Because compared to the person that you were with at that time, it was probably quite a different vibration.
Yeah.
And it was, But it was trippy.
And even it was, and you know, we became friends. We were friends before, you know, anything, because yeah, it's, I was in a relationship, and that, I mean, it was, and it's crumbling already anyway. And, you know, so that kind of ended in its cycle, and yeah. And then, but we still, as I say, like that respect for even the fact that I had just come out of something, you know, like John held that space for me to move through the layers of kind of getting over that, and you know, and processing everything. And yeah, it was, that respect was massive for me. That just spoke volumes of, you know, who this man was. And yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's funny because I still remember that comment that that particular person said about, like, like, because we'd been like a few months or something, we hadn't slept together, and it was just like, oh, that's a bit risky, like, like, you know, like as if like that, like that's why, you know, again, those passionate people that want to just connect for the wrong reasons, it will always burn out like that flame, like just like a match, and then it'll be gone. But like,
well, and that's the thing, like a relationship is a whole, a well, you know, it's the whole package. It's not just the sexual side of it, you know. So yeah, that can go on for how long, and then when the deep stuff happens or the big stuff happens in life, then what have you got, you know? Where's that kind of those roots and that foundation? So and yeah, as I said to that client too, I was like, if you want surface level, then you'll get surface level, but if you want depth,
you must go digging. Within himself. I'm just trying to think, what are you guys feeling? Where do you want to segue this? Just trying to feel the flow. Actually, Jaden, like, in terms of, it's interesting because you talked about your mum not following her path, but then here's you when we connected up, and you, we had a couple of sessions at really important moments even before you moved to Queenstown.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to talk a little bit about that journey, right? Because there was a lot stacked against you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it took a lot of courage and faith to know, do you know what, the path is meant for me and right for me. Like, so, you know, do you know what to talk about? Like, because you're really starting to step into your more intuitive and following that, hey? And like, that's what my
gut... Is there a lot of trust involved in that?
Yeah.
In stepping into that,
Yeah, totally. I always questioned whether it was my mind or my intuition telling me certain things. And is it my mind telling me to go somewhere different because I'm uncomfortable and I'm afraid of seeing something, or I feel like I need to run. I'm running from something. And then versus the intuition, which is just like full body and there is no questions. It feels like a different voice coming in than the mind. And all of the big decisions that I have made, based on my intuition, have come from when I'm in a meditation and this voice comes in, and it's just a knowing of that was your intuition. And you need to follow that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I don't really know. I guess, I started, I guess, just a slow learning more about myself, but not just about like who Jaden is, but what my past experiences have been and my connection to the universe and source. That has connected me so much deeper to my intuition, and my intuition's gotten louder and louder. So yeah, I had like a very beautiful life here in the Mount and was with my yoga, and I have beautiful friends here. And I just remember this one meditation that was like, you're going down south to work at back at the retreats there as a retreat leader and teaching yoga down there. And following that, like packing up everything and taking that jump, led me to a beautiful experience there. And then once that was complete, my intuition, it didn't feel complete, but my intuition was like, you have all of this energy and passion. It's time to put it into your own thing and make it. Yes. And so then I came back, and that's what's really given me the courage to step out in my own business and run retreats. Is it doesn't feel like a Jaden thing. It feels like it's a guided thing from the universe.
Awesome. And love that.
Greater good. Like, it's really not,
it's your
about
purpose.
Me.
That's beautiful. I get that. I mean, that's why we do what we do too. It feels like it's so much bigger than just us.
And work doesn't feel like work. Like, you're happy to meet up all the synchron. The universe just creates perfect opportunity after perfect opportunity, and even right before I saw you today, another synchronicity happened as I was sitting in the same chair where I caught up with one of the beautiful
female
energy.
There's good coffee there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she was at the Awaken Breathwork with us like a year and a half ago.
Wow.
And we haven't seen her since.
Mm.
And she was right there coming out of Sisters,
yeah,
like with her mum. And we had this awesome conversation again, trying to step into her path. And I'm like, just do it.
Yeah.
Just start. Take the first step and trust. And it's really that building trust outside of our persona, releasing the limitations and those layers of we are only this small. Yeah. We are not. We are like an infinite connection to everyone and everything. And that's, I guess, unless we take the time to slow down and to play and to meditate and to get calm and quiet and create the opportunity, the universe will never... It's always trying to orchestrate things with us, like angel numbers, number plates.
Yes. You're being a cooperative component of the universe, you know, like being in the right place at the right time for that person to get that message that might just be the one thing that they needed to hear in order to step forward. Yeah.
It's so much fun, though.
It's so powerful.
Like, when you get it, like, I mean, even meeting Crystal and then meeting you at the breathwork where Crystal introduced us, like, and then Crystal and Kaz. It was just like, you know, everything just unfolds. It's literally like planting a seed and then just allowing that seed to grow, but not forcing the seed, like, not covering it up, like, not expecting the child to be out of the womb at 3 months.
Right.
Like, and again, that's that next balance of
trusting.
How do we have that idea and the inspiration, but then trust in knowing that at the right time it will come, the same as the partner.
Yeah.
I've got the seeds, I've planted and I'm tending to my body and my own inner love. I know I've got heaps to give and I know I'm worthy of that coming back.
Yep.
And when that seed's right and the sun just hits it, it's like, bam, it'll come. And
even that, the beauty of doing that work on yourself is that you're attracting from that vibration, right? So you're going to attract somebody that has that self-worth, that has that self-love, that self-respect. And yeah, like, it's the law of attraction, like, it has to be, right? Like, of course they'll always be a mirror and, you know, you'll learn and grow and evolve together, but when we want something in a partner, if we embody it in ourselves, or, you know, first, then it's a sure match, it's a sure thing.
Because there is no law of exclusion.
No,
it's just, we're just magnets. Like, we're just literally, whatever we believe in here is just sent out like a feedback loop.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess, again, across all of these topics that we're talking about, like, whether it's related to the womb, sexuality, opening heart walls, opening your expression, if we go to do an action, or we're getting a lot of reflection from many different people or different environments, and we're shutting down our voice, or we're hearing the croaky throat, or we're always getting infections, or we're having even like urinary infections and heavy bleeding every single cycle and pain, like, listen to the body.
It's
not meant to be painful. Like, regardless of what society's taught us from sex ed and all the rest of it, I don't believe it's meant to be painful on any level. I believe once we release the emotional remembrance and some soul level remembrance and challenges, we can have a really harmonized body that will support us. And
And exactly, seeing any of those signs as an opportunity, as a gift, instead of disempowering. A huge realization that I had was with my, like, receiving and like, I guess around both of you, because I could feel this resistance come up. And even like right now, like through this, I can feel a little bit in the heart and in the throat. And it was so much so that I was so afraid of being seen by, and like being seen as broken and needing fixed. And the biggest realization I have is, like, I don't know, this is actually exciting. Like, I am full and complete exactly in this moment, and I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And this little thing across my heart that I can feel is an opportunity to, first of all, express it. Like, how, you know, before I would just hold it in and be like, hopefully John doesn't feel it.
It's so funny, though, because the verbs have been there, and I'm just like,
totally. And I'm like, wait, actually, this is exciting, because I'm starting to feel it in my own body as well. And now I can take more of a step to be my energetic healer as well.
Totally. Because again, I didn't end up here because the path was fun and like, I'm skipping through life. Like, it was literally through so much shit and so much having to face my deep traumatic emotions and deep fears of abandonment, and facing the clingy, needy John and the one that went to porn to fix that like need at earlier years. Yeah. And it's just like, we have to become, just through self-awareness, that's the tool and the gift. And yeah, so it's cool to be able to be around people and even, I guess, resonate with, you know, many of us will have friends that are ready to be released in this huge vibrational shift. And it's important to surround yourself with people that are really open and caring, that aren't going to hold any judgment, because in your growth, it'll just reflect back and you'll be able to see and hold that space that we talked about in between, like a relationship or a couple or even groups of friends.
Yeah.
If you can hold that space, we can put a little bit in, whether it's a vulnerability or a fear or like, holy shit, I just noticed a trigger when I was comparing myself to your body.
Yeah.
Like, or, and just speak about it.
Yeah.
Because if it's flowed, then it's not stuck.
And then it will, allow others to open up. And
that permission.
And
it's like, we aren't our thoughts. Like, we're the observer of our thoughts. Our thoughts come and go. And when we can, like, realize that, then I'm not afraid to say any of my thoughts out loud.
Yeah.
You know, they're not mine, but they're mine to be seen and to...
But that topic on expression and like that was that key area around the upper heart and the throat.
Yeah.
That was such a key area that we, like, a couple of sessions were really focused on clearing and really stepping into your truth. It's like, no, you have a divine voice. Follow it, trust this voice. And then all of a sudden I think you did that 100-day meditation. And then you're like, I'm going down south. Sweet. And then it's like, but that was really just opportunity after opportunity slowly unfolding.
Yep.
For you to step into that authenticity, and here you are back.
Yeah, and you're right. Like it goes faster. Everything starts moving faster, but you're not doing more.
Yeah,
So that's the paradox. To slow down the energy and the soul gifts, the intuition, that all speeds up because the monkey mind's not running the show, and those thoughts and limiting beliefs aren't controlling and dictating, like what. Those limitations, they're just limitations of the mind and the belief system.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not a truth.
Yeah.
So, it's really cool. And it's cool to see the cycle unfold and the journey, because it's like that that Illuminati tattoo. It's just like that ever-winding journey, and then you get up to the enlightenment at the top.
Yeah.
So, I love seeing those journeys unfold, because you're one of quite a few local clients that we've had the privilege
of
seeing them go through the confusion, go through the breakdowns, the phases, hit the emotions, hit the triggers, uncover limiting beliefs, uncover the body stuff, the emotional blocks, and then get into their path.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Look at that light shine.
And then we're watching, the shine.
And even to know that it's still, that's not the end. That's just like that little step for that little bit or that year or two. And then to know that, I think even having that courage to know, I mean, even with me and Tammy, like, we don't know where the path ends. Like, but can we just enjoy it and be present in the moment instead of always thinking
putting
ahead?
Putting expectations on what should be or will be, or, just totally being present and enjoying,
Because the mind really can't even fathom what's going to unfold for us.
No.
So, and which is so exciting.
Yes. Yeah.
So like, it's like right now, like, be here now.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Enjoy every moment.
I think it's a really big social challenge at the moment, especially with COVID, because everyone had to slow down and then had to connect with their family or their kids or their partners.
So much
came up. Yeah. So much came up where people weren't, they didn't know how to be. They were so busy doing, being a human doing.
Yep.
They didn't actually know how to be and how to feel peace.
Playing all the roles and and it's been a beautiful gift, because it's just
dropped us.
It's kind of, it was interesting watching it though, because those that were like into doing the work and into seeing it as a gift and not as a burden, man, what a different experience though. Those that were just so busy running the rat race and running those traditional codependent roles and relationships, you know, a lot broke down when there was a lot of relationships and marriages that just went like bam, because different views, different opinions, realized that there's never been love and they've just been holding that backpack for so long. So, you know, like
staying in things because of obligation or it's been a beautiful thing.
Cool.
Even though it looks like it's the opposite of freedom and everyone having to isolate and all that, I think it is going to lead to freedom for everyone.
Absolutely.
The true embodiment.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else you want to chat about, or are you keen to wind it up?
No, I think we should probably wind it up. I don't know, we're probably...
Is there anything else you wanted to share, like on your journey, or your have you got more retreats coming up?
Yeah, do you want to talk about what you've got coming up, how people can find you? Like, we'll put links below in the
description.
Show notes, yeah, but...
Cool. Yeah.
Let's talk about what's coming up. What's exciting on the menu?
Yeah. So I have just over a month ago launched Find Your Flow, which is my little passion project. So much passion. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool because Find Your Flow came to me ages ago, and I've been journaling it forever, and it's really started to come to life, and now I can see what I want it to all involve. Beautiful. I ran my first women's health and empowerment retreat a few weeks ago here in New Zealand in Coromandel, and that was really exciting to see it come to life and lit up my heart even more. So I'm running my next retreat the first weekend of May. I'm seeing that Find Your Flow, I want it to be more than just a retreat, a three-day retreat. It's a community, and it's a place for right now it's all women just coming and connecting, a community where we can share what's going on and resources and just be in that feminine energy. But where I also see it going is I want it to be Find Your Flow for everyone. So educating men as well on our cycle and how they can be a part, because it's not
it's not just the woman.
And it's the responsibility, and when it comes to fertility and like working together, I want to educate in schools and mother-daughter connections and
on top
of it with all this journey that we've been talking about and the ancestral beliefs as well, it's like with that awareness in your own journey, that's it all means something.
And like Find Your flow being our cycle, flow being flow state, our intuition, and then flow also water connection to nature.
Love it.
Amazing.
So 1st of May,
of many. I'm starting one-on-one coaching with women as well, so
nice
around our menstrual cycle.
Cool.
So we'll definitely put some links in this description and tag you in.
Yeah, we'll tag your Instagram and whatever else.
Because you've shifted some names and recombined some accounts, so we'll let let that dust settle, and then we can put the links to your new account handle. It's been such a beautiful journey, and some amazing photos from your retreat as well. They were awesome. For you, what was a couple of the main massive takeaways that you noticed within the space that you held for those beautiful women? What was there any surprises that came out that you weren't expecting, like that came up and presented itself within the group that you're just like, whoa, that was way cooler, or that top, was there anything that really came out of like and surprised you?
Yeah, absolutely. I knew the power of bringing people together in an immersive place away from our natural routine and environment, but holding that space and being in that space with women, and like you could feel it the first day and a half, the walls, you know, still there. But once there was like this moment where everything just dropped and we all dropped our guards and connected, and that's where the magic happens. And I think, that whole idea of community and connection and not having to figure it all out on yourself and being open to sharing. This one gal,
so much power.
This one gal said if we could weigh her the first day compared to the last day, the emotional weight that was lifted off of her was really powerful.
Well, that's a powerful statement, isn't it? Because the emotional weight, like, because we're all about that. Like, there's nothing more important than emotions as far as we're concerned. Like, energy flow wise. Like,
get rid of that backpack.
So that's interesting, right? Because we don't have a quantifiable way of understanding the mental and emotional health within our country and the world and the flow and effects of how this has. But we know, we feel it. We know when we're jammed up. We know when things are painful,
it releases more than anything.
So that's such a beautiful power statement. Like, do you think, like, looking at it now, given that people took about a day and a half to open up, mm-hmm. do you think that 3 day was a good mark, or do you think like a 5 day would be really good?
Well, knowing that it took... I'd love to do longer than three day. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
But it's like learning as you go, right? So like for all of us, we don't have to have it all sorted. Things don't have to be perfect, because mm-hmm. every single time we connect with people and in groups, we learn as we go. And mm-hmm. as long as we allow that unfolding and I guess release expectations and be more in flow.
And that we don't have to have it figured out all the time. And, you know, and we are all human, and we're all going through, you know, similar journeys, just at different stages, and honoring that as well.
I think what was another really cool thing is I have come from a sciencey background, and that's what got me into the menstrual cycle to begin with, and nutrition and hormones and all that, which I educated about at the retreat. But it's like the science combined with now I'm really headed down my spiritual path, and the energetics of our cycle, bringing those two together, and in a retreat setting, like one of the gals that hadn't had a bleed in a year bled the day after the retreat. So there's something,
there's so amazing.
There's a lot there of being held in the feminine energy.
100%.
And she expressed a lot of what she had gone through, released a lot of trauma. So it's the release, it's the flow.
It is.
It's like the body's very literal.
Yes, exactly.
Like as in...
monthly release,
letting go.
If you've held on to that for every single, you know, what's meant to be a release, it's a lot of...
Of course your body's going to communicate, right? Like your body's an amazing, highly intelligent communication tool. And if we just treat the emotions like that guidance system, it's like if our body's in pain, tightness, or, you know, because like even the hips and the joints, right? I think we did some lower back hip stuff. And like you were doing your workouts and you're stretching every single day. But if there's an emotional block, then the energy cannot flow down that line or that female line. And that's, that's awesome. I love those results. That really makes it worthwhile, hey?
Yeah.
Like makes your heart sing when you're like, I think I'm on the right path. Wow, beautiful. And a personal takeaway for you, what was the most exciting bit for you that you got from your retreat?
Yeah, probably throughout knowing that it was there, I've always had this passion, and then stepping into it, launching it, and then running it, it was a whole self-discovery journey for myself. And stepping into my own creation has... literally step me into my own authentic self as well. Like being able to be here and express that, and being unafraid of what comes next. And my cycle became way more regular as I planned this retreat.
Awesome.
That for me, I'm like, if that was it. That was beautiful. Yep. It's stepping into yourself and your creations is healing. Very healing.
And why we really resonate is because we're looking at our mind, body, spirit as a holistic whole. We talked about the tree analogy before.
Yeah.
People want the fruit at the top of the tree, but they don't want to do the groundwork and the lower chakra work and the nutrition and all the balance. It's such a powerful gift. If someone was wanting to step into their own path, like if they've got these ideas like you talked about, they're wanting to manifest and create, what would be your one tip for anyone that is on the edge, or that has this burning desire, or maybe feels like they're really out of alignment with what they're currently doing? What would be your tip for them?
Well, I always think of like, what's the cost if I don't, if I stay here? And I love movement, not physically moving, but taking action on your passions. And even if it's a little thing, reaching out to one person, how much energy that will bring you. I guess my tip is to just really tune in with how you're feeling in this moment, in the next moment, and allowing yourself to dream big, allowing yourself know that you are worthy of things the mind couldn't even comprehend in your life right now.
Love it.
Beautiful.
Always more expansive thoughts.
Yeah.
I think that's an epic high note to finish it on, because it's such a powerful seed right there. Because we've always got to let the mind expand more than our own limitations. Because the mind will always limit it, whereas the soul's like, you've got this. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was an amazing inflow chat. And yeah, we really appreciate your time and can't wait to, like, anyone listening to this, yeah, reach out to Jaden. She's super approachable. Yeah. She's got so much passion for what she does, but even whether it's one-on-one coaching or the group settings.
Or yoga classes.
Yeah, the yoga classes are amazing. Yeah. Like, she's so connected and it's so much fun in your classes. So even your yoga is very in flow.
Yeah.
I love that style. I hate, I can't do the rigid routine like Bikram's and that. It doesn't work with me. Yeah. I need flow and to just have that space to even follow and go off your own path a little bit as you're encouraged. Us.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you so much for shining your light and for being you.
Thank you.
We're deeply humbled.
Thank you. Yeah. And beautiful. I would also just like to say to whoever's listening and thinking about doing a session with either Tammy or John, or have done some, feel it in your body, like right now. Like if there's something, then honor that and don't try to look externally to try to fix it.
Yeah.
Actually reach out and build your community.
Yeah, totally.
Because me reaching out to you initially has built my community so in so many more ways than just a session, you know.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Follow the nudge.
Yeah, totally. Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much. We'll leave it there and hope you guys enjoy. So to all our beautiful female clients and soul sisters out there, if you want to connect up with Jaden's next retreat, you can find her at find.your.flow__ on Instagram. So she's running her next retreat from May the 13th to the 15th, 2022. So if that feels aligned for you, or you feel like connecting with Jaden to discuss any details, or even connect up with any of her yoga teaching classes, feel free to reach out to her. Or alternatively, if you would love to work with Tammy or I, taking a deeper dive into Reiki energy healing, uncovering limiting beliefs, or doing some deep soul level regression and ascension work, then you can feel free to reach out to us at IntrospectHealingNZ on Instagram, Facebook, or www.introspecthealing.com on the internet. Thanks, family, and have an amazing day.